You're listening to a University of Minnesota Bookstore author event podcast, recorded live from our location in Kauffman Memorial Union on the U of M's Twin Cities campus. For more information on upcoming author events, please visit our website at bookstore.umn.edu.
Izzeldin Abouelish is a Palestinian physician and infertility expert who was born and raised in the Jabalia refugee camp in the Gaza Strip. He received a scholarship to study medicine in Cairo and then received a diploma from the Institute of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the University of London. He completed a residency in the same discipline at the Soroka Medical Center in Israel, followed by a subspecialty in fetal medicine in Italy and Belgium. He then undertook a master's in public health at Harvard University. Before his three daughters were killed in January of 2009, Dr. Abouelish worked as a senior researcher at the Gertner Institute at the Sheba Medical Center in Tel Aviv. He now lives with his family in Toronto, where he is an associate professor at the Dalhousie School of Public Health at the University of Toronto. His website and foundation can be found at www.daughtersforlife.com. He's here today to talk about his book, I Shall Not Hate, and his personal crusades to advance the cause of peace in the world. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Izzeldin Abouelish.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you, but also for students who are coming. I'm not going to give an academic lecture that I'm sure you are fed up and you have many in the classes. I am coming to speak from heart to heart, mind to mind, human to human, really to give you a message of hope, because my book that I wrote, I was supposed to write it a few years ago about my life experience as a Palestinian and what did I face in life, because I am proud of being Palestinian. A Palestinian refugee who was born, raised, and lived where? In refugee camps. That one day you have a homeland, you have a place, you have everything as other people in the 21st century. And in a minute, you lost everything. Your parents, from being landlords, they are refugees, to wait for humanitarian aids, to suffer and struggle. As a child, to be born to this family who fought to survive. Because in this world, people, we have different kinds of them. Some of them are living just to fight. And others who are fighting to live. They are fighting, suffering, struggling to live as a human, to get the minimum of a human needs. As a child, as many millions, not only the Palestinian children, hundreds of millions of children in this world who never tasted his childhood, just to suffer, to be burned by this man-made suffering, to each other, but for you as young men and women and a human being, I looked at it and now I am more determined that this man-made suffering there is hope in it. It's man-made. So you, as young, middle-aged, old, we can challenge them of not accepting it. We can change it. They are a human being as we are. They have nothing more than us that maybe some of them are ignorant. But we need to show them that we can challenge of not accepting what is happening in this world. In my childhood, I dreamed at the age of 9, when I was sick, to be admitted to a hospital to be a medical doctor. At that age, started to look in my medical record because I suffered rheumatic fever. And the treatment of rheumatic fever from the age of 9 till I went to the medical school in Cairo, I knew it by heart. When I started to learn it at the age of 20, said I knew it at the age of 9. So I can tell you, each of you, to dream. Because for the deprived people and the children, no one can prevent you from dreaming. They can take your freedom. They can oppress. They can imprison. They can do everything for you. But they can't prevent you from dreaming. Dream, largely. Dreams are close to reality. But to achieve those dreams, you need to work hard. Not to give up. To be determined. To be focused. And don't reject yourself. You can achieve anything in the world. Let others reject you. I learned it when I was at Harvard. A woman who is the president and CEO of Boston Medical Center. It's an empire. I asked her about her qualifications. She has a bachelor in education and a master in public health. I asked, what made you determined to be the president? There are professors, medical, in medicine. How? She said, the first day I came, I said, I want to be the president. And I learned from my father, telling her, don't reject yourself. Let others reject you. Be confident in yourself. And I can say to you, nothing is impossible in life. That's what I learned. The only impossible thing in life is to return my daughters back. Anything in life I planned, I succeeded to achieve. It may take time. Because you are fighting alone. You haven't the means to achieve it faster. Few years ago, if I come to ask you, I dreamed the president of the States will be a black man called Barack Hussein Obama. What are you going to say? You are crazy. But I think he dreamed of it. He dreamed of it. And he planned it. Who is the president now? He is. So each of you, if he started to dream and to plan, believe me, he will reach there. He can achieve it. I achieved. What have I achieved that I'm proud of? That I was scratching in rocks. Ups and downs. And each of us, he faces the challenges. but for us as Palestinians, as many in this world, as if we were born just to suffer and to face man-made challenges. But the most difficult time in my life was in 4 months period that I never dreamed in or expected in life. I was the first Palestinian to practice medicine in an Israeli hospital that I started in 91, where my Israeli colleagues and the public, they used to see Palestinians as workers, serving them in farms, in industry. Now they are seeing the Palestinian as equal to them, skillful as they are skilled, a human as they are, similar to them. The difficult time in my life was in 4 months period. And number 16 is printed in my mind. It will never be erased. I see it on a daily basis. 16th of September is the day when I lost my wife of an acute disease. I thought it's the end of the world. Because in my childhood, my mother took the role. I am in debt to my mother. And I fully believe children should be raised with their mothers. The mother is vital. Even sometimes I have nightmares. In my childhood, if you have the choice, you want to lose your mother or your father, say, I want to stay with my mother. And now you are burned by the fire of loss and your children. I was blessed to have 6 lovely, beautiful daughters and 2 sons. Those lovely daughters that never succeeded in their schools, less than 97%. Their teachers were fighting to have them in their classes. I was proud of them. They were a human being with big hearts, to help others, to think of other children in their classes who are in need, to come to tell me, we need to give other children. Bisan, who was 20 years old, she was the eldest. She was supposed to get her BA a few months later and to be the first in the history of the university to get it in 3 years. She was the first Palestinian girl at the age of 14 that I sent to peace camps. Bisan, after she lost her mom, she said to me, I thought academic exams are the difficult exams we face in life. After I lost my mom, I realized it's the life exams. Academic exams are the easiest in life. Bisan, at the age of 14, she said, to meet terrorism with terrorism or violence with violence doesn't solve any problem. At the same age, she said, everything starts small, then becomes big. Everything starts in one place, then goes in different directions. Then the unexpected happened. 16th of January 2009, 4:45. 4 months period was a Friday afternoon when I was happy with my children. During this war, at least I am happy to be with them. I miss them a lot during my travel. With this craziness, where people became numbers, Gazans became numbers, to count them, 100, 200, 1,000, 1,400. Human beings are not numbers. They are human beings with faces, with names, with hearts, with families, with potential. It's shame to look at a human being as numbers. I was planning with my children, where can I go? Because I got two offers, one from the University of Harvard and one from the University of Toronto. Because I said, I want to be with them every day. My practice in Israel used to be to leave Gaza Sunday and to come back Friday. Now I can't leave them. And I don't know what will happen. 4:45, after just seconds after I left their room, less than 5 seconds, the first shell came to hit their room. I thought it is not my house because shelling was from everywhere. When I saw the dust, the smoke, I said, it's my house. I don't want anyone to see those girls. Those beautiful girls. How are they now? Where is Bisan? Where is Mayar? Where is Aya? Where is Noor? Where is Shada? Bisan, Mayar, Aya became parts. Mayar, the one who planned to follow my path, to be a medical doctor, at least one of my daughters will follow the human path. Decapitated, drowning in a pool of blood. As I said, for nothing they did. And there was no reason. But as a believer, as a Muslim with deep faith, I fully believe everything from God is for good. What is bad is man-made. I started to ask why I was saved. And I was blessed to be a medical doctor, to think of saving lives, to think of those who are severely wounded. My daughter Shada, Gaida, and my brother. And started immediately to think of the future. As a medical doctor, you want to decide in case of emergency. There is no time. Just to move forward and to think of saving lives and an eye on the future. And the first thing I looked at my son, Muhammad, who is 12 years old, who was spoiled by his mother, his sisters. What is he going to do? Is he going to be crazy? To be what do we call extreme or fanatic? And we have to ask ourselves not to blame those whom we think they are extreme or fanatic. We have to ask, what made them extreme or fanatic? We are not born extreme or fanatic. We are born a human being. But the environment and the life we run makes us. And we must. Violence is a symptom. It's not a disease. And we must search for the disease itself. When I was screaming and crying, he looked at me and said, why are you crying and screaming? you must be happy. Happy for what? You must be happy. My sisters are happy there. They are with their mom. She asked for them. That's the Palestinian child, as many other children in this world. He believes. And I have to move forward. And no way backwards. As Einstein said, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep balanced, we must keep moving. And those holy souls, holy blood, needs someone to take the responsibility over preventing and showing others what is happening in this world. My daughter Shada was taken to the hospital where I used to practice just 2 days before the war. I came from there. And after what happened, I felt satisfied that the second day announced unilateral ceasefire from the Israeli side. It saved others' lives. But do we need to be killed, to sacrifice, to save others? We need to prevent, not to treat or manage the cases. And that's why someone may ask me, Izzeldin, are you standing? You didn't hate? I can say to you, as a child, as a man, what have I suffered? Whom to hate? If I want to count the list of the people who did bad things to me in my life, the list will be endless. And each of you, if you want to think of everyone who did bad thing to you and to hate, it's endless. And the one that you want to hate, is he thinking of you? He's not in this world. You are burned by the fire of hate. You are wasted. You are consumed. And hate is a chronic disease. You will never be cured from it. It's a poison. Once you are injected with it, you will never recover. So don't allow hate to invade you. Build a shield around your body of not allowing it. You can be angry, outraged. Anger is an acute, but also anger and outrage of not losing control. You need to feel angry about injustice and the prejudice in this world of not accepting it and saying, I will never accept it and I will do something to change it. And the antidote of hate and revenge, don't show the one that you hated that you are collapsed. Stay strong of not giving up, and you will challenge him and succeed. He is waiting to see you collapsing and destroyed. The antidote of hate and revenge is success by good deeds. My daughter Shada, who was severely wounded, she lost the sight in one eye and two malformed right-handed fingers. She spent 4 months in the hospital. And what did she suffer in 1 year? I think mountains can't bear it. She was in her high school, studying day and night to be one of the first 10 in Palestine in the high school. She studied on candles during the war. She was focused and determined. And she said, I have to do the exam. Before she finished her treatment and recovery. And the day we moved to Canada, they announced the result. And she succeeded as nothing happened. She succeeded 96%. And now she is studying computer engineering at the University of Toronto. That's the challenge, not to collapse and to be destroyed and to challenge the one that you plan to hate. I can say to you, there is hope. This world can be changed. But from where the change starts, God will never change what is in people till they change what is in their hearts and minds. The change starts within each of us. And to realize one thing, that the most holy thing in the universe is a human being and the freedom. Freedom of poverty, of unemployment, of ignorance, of sickness. Because we were born free. And we must run our life free and get out of it free. No one should pay any price or any cost to get his freedom. Freedom is free for everyone. And the freedom of one is the freedom of the humanity. Oppression and occupation of one is occupation of the humanity that we all belong. And we must stand up, not just to watch and observe. It's good. Sometimes we talk and we meet. But as a medical doctor, dealing with patients, the patient is not coming to talk. He's coming to be treated and cured and to get a prescription by the end of the day to get the treatment to be cured. If every day I meet my patient to give him words, he will be fed up and will never come back. It's a matter of action. Actions resonate more than words. And this world, it needs actions. And you can do a lot. Don't underestimate your action. Just start to do. Don't wait for others. And the story of the young girl who was confident with her good heart as a human being of saving lives. When she was sitting on the shore, when a heavy tide threw hundreds of starfish, what did she think to do to save lives as a girl, as a woman, as a mother? To throw one by one, a man came and overtook that girl. What are you doing? She said, I am trying to save lives. But there are hundreds. It is not going to make any difference. She was confident. By evidence-based, by role model, to show him and to teach him. She threw another one and said, look, it saved one's life. So we need to save and to help, just to do. So it's a matter of action for each of us. And I want to read a poem which was written by an Israeli Jewish woman who knew my daughter Bisan. She lived with, and she spent time with Shada and Dalal. And this for every one of us, especially men in this world, where love resides in memory of Bisan. I long to touch you, Bisan, one more time to hug you, to tell you how sorry I am that your mom died. But now you two are gone. Your smiling face, your gentle way, your softness, your non-judgmental words, your pain for your people, your way of life, your dreams, aspirations, and your hope for peace. Just days before the war, I spoke with your dad. He gave me your phone number. It's still in my car. Every day, I glance at the number, seeing your name, Bisan. I wish I had spoken with you more, but I didn't have the guts. I spoke with you 3 days before you died. I told you that I am praying for your safety. I told you that I am praying for your safety. My prayers were not heard. Through the shelling, the bombing, the Qassams, the smoke, I feel I have been betrayed by God, by my country, by the cruelty of humanity, by the warmongers, by those who think violence is the solution. And with all of this, I have been given a gift to have spent 6 weeks with Shada Izzeddin and Ghaida. I heard no words of revenge, no hatred. I heard no anger. I heard the deep belief that peace is possible, even with this enormous loss. I have been strengthened from their strength. I am more determined from their determination. I am more at peace from their peacefulness. Bisan, forgive me for not being able to save you from my own people. Forgive me for giving you hope that peace is possible and then taking that dream from you. You will always be my symbol of hope, peace, and mostly gentleness. Your dad shared the dream with me days after you died. He came into a room full of men, and there you were sitting amongst them. He asked you, "Why are you sitting here, Bisan?" You know it is not acceptable in our society. You answered, "All is fine now, Dad. I am happy and well. I can be here now among the men where I am needed. May no other woman need to die in order to be able to influence the men as you have, Bisan. May we women be heard and heeded, and may the men in this world get the chance to know from deep within their hearts that this is where the answer lies, in their hearts, where love resides. My daughters, they succeeded to see their names 2 weeks before they were killed, to see their names written in sand on the Gaza beach when I took them, to heal from the first tragedy they faced. They were determined to write their names every now and then as waves to come to clean it, as they were expecting to be cleaned from life. But where are their names now written? They are written in stone on the tombs. And in our life, only generals, leaders, philanthropists who can see their names written during their life in stone or metal. The normal or poor people, they can't see their names written in stone or metal. I swore to God and to my daughters not to relax or rest, because as a believer, I will meet them one day, to meet them with a gift that their souls and the blood wasn't waste, bringing them the big gift that they sacrificed for and others in this world, to bring them the justice that they looked for. With good deeds, a foundation was established in their memory called Daughters for Life, for girls and women, for health and education, because I fully believe in the role of women. This world can be changed if women took the role. And to practice it, they are the engine behind any change. It's not women's status or rights, it's women's role. And this only, and only by education. For girls in the Middle East, a healthy and educated girl and woman will raise healthy, educated children, husband, family, community, and nation. The key indicator of development is women's education. That's what I am determined. So this message of hope, it's not my message. It's everyone's message. You are thinking of it. So I believe that we can make a difference. I believe in you that you have the goodwill to act and to make the difference. So have hope, have faith, and take action that we all are significant. And what do we need to smash? The mental and physical barriers. We need to build the bridges instead of building walls of separation. And to understand one thing, that the future, we have priorities in our future. Our children are the priority, and they are the future. And the leaders to have an eye on the future and their nations and the children, not to have an eye on the next election and their position. Start to act and to transmit this message to everyone and to show that you care about a change in this world. Believe me, I see it happening. As this moving world, no one will know what will happen tomorrow. Everything is possible. Just start to act and to do and to have faith in it. God bless you and your families. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
I just have a question about your political opinion. As a fellow Palestinian, are you in support of a one-state or a two-state option for Palestinian people?
It's good what did you ask, but I will be honest with you. This is theoretical question at the present. Because I am a medical doctor, it looks for me like someone to come to me with two patients, one with common cold and one with cancer, and to say to me, Izzeldin, can you treat the patient with cancer? And I can't treat the common cold. How can I treat the patient with cancer? So, and this, it has a meaning. And the same situation, as obstetrician gynecologist, it looks for me like a woman who is coming in labor. And the woman who comes in labor, she's screaming of labor pain. I know it. Believe me, I feel it when I see the mother. And to come as a medical doctor, she wants someone to relieve the pain and to help her. To come to ask her, what do you want the baby to be? A baby boy or girl? What will be the name? Where are you planning to send him to which university? She will curse me and to say, save me, to show the baby. And the Palestinians are burned on daily basis. They are suffering. Save their lives. And then we think of one state or two states. Personally, I am in support of two-state solution. That's personally. But how can we achieve it? It's not impossible. It's difficult, but it is not impossible. If there is a will, there is a way. That's what is needed. Yes?
The thing is that I don't think Israel will ever back down. I was really hoping for Mubarak to step down and an Egyptian government that would start to put some teeth into telling Israel that they need to change. And that's now not possible because he's not stepping down. But this government, our government does not do anything to help you. And that's discouraging.
You can help. But we asked about Mubarak. But who is the boss of Mubarak? No, not the States. We don't want to say the United States. They're not the American people. We must differentiate. The government, the administration, he is the boss. So do we want the one who is employee to decide or the boss to decide? I think if we want to point by our finger, the American administration, and we are asking, we don't want 100% justice. Believe me, relative justice. Relative justice. And at the end, it will help Israel and Americans and the Palestinians to implement and to practice the justice and to pressure Israel for taking steps to save the Israelis, the Palestinians, and the Americans and the international community to give hope to the people that there is a change in this world. We have no double standards. We have one standard. A human being is a human being, has one face, and that's what is needed. And also, you have to ask yourself, what can we do? Those leaders, who brought them? Who brought them? We gave them the contract. We signed for them. So you can speak to others. Please select the right people who can serve the national interest, not to serve their own individual interest and to think they are stuck in the chair as if they were born to take them from their position to the grave. We don't want that. We need, that's my belief, we need a new blood with the new ideas, with the new minds. A new blood is needed with potential, with courage, without self-interest. The young men and women, the young ages, they are those who can take the lead. Give them the chance. We must get rid of our ego.